everyone, and welcome to the next episode of Model Connection. I'm Eric Harrell, your host. I have brought in a photographer friend of mine from Nashville, Mr. Tim Temple.
Hello.
I want to thank him for being here. Tim, how are you? How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for the invite. By the way, I've been looking forward to this.
I am so glad you're here, Tim. If you can, let's start off by telling me about yourself and your business.
Sure. For people who want to check out, I guess, what I'm best known for, templeimagery.com is my website. And to shamelessly plug it, since we're recording this in the holiday season of 2021, it is the whole site right now, as of Black Friday, is 40% off. And we're doing some the thing is with the partners on that site, I will mention this quickly. It's not just paper. They're printing on aluminum. They're printing under a quarter inch acrylics. You can get really large. I think the biggest piece we do right now is 32 by 96. Just massive work. So you can do anything from very small to large. And so you asked a bit about me. TempleImagery.com is going to feature a lot of my landscape work, wildlife work, models, which of course we're going to get into tonight. It's not so much on there, though I am thinking about expanding it to where if someone is interested in working with me in a model capacity, that you could just, you can communicate there with me now. In fact, right. I'll give out my email. For anyone who would like to reach out, I'm not hard to find. Facebook, Instagram, Tim Temple. Email is info@templeimagery.com. That travels with me so I can get back to you guys really quick. So anyone that's got a model, a concept, an idea, you just want to reach out, whatever, hit me up anytime. But to answer your question a bit about me, so if you want to see what I got known for, which is the landscape stuff, templeimagery.com. I got started as a photographer, and I think some artists will relate to this, because no one told me I couldn't.
Right.
And I've discovered that also as a keyboardist and now with my own studio here in Nashville, a lot of what I was able to achieve is just because I decided that sounds interesting. I'm going to do that. And no one smarter than me said, no, you can't do it. So I just started, I will like plug into something like, just start hitting buttons. Like, what does this do? And it was kind of like that. But photography wise, my dad had a great SLR system. I would never hand my gear to a kid. I just wouldn't ever. And he gave it to a five-year-old? Me. And so the first portrait, which I think I have in a box somewhere, and I've got to dig it out. I have a portrait I did of my parents in the backyard.
Yeah.
So that was my first work, and it was on or about 5 years old. And then I got out of it for a while, because school and this, growing up and all of that. And I started getting back into it, years later, and I discovered, to reference landscape, Galen Rowell's work, who's just a legend. Okay. And the first time I saw his work, it was so good, I thought it was fake. And this is back in the film days, and it wasn't. He was really that good. And of course, it gets into the art of the darkroom and so on. So finally decided to go hardcore, and I took the leap because he shot Nikon. I got into Nikon, and of course, then we can get into the war, which I think we will a little bit later.
Right,
Canon versus Nikon versus Sony, and I'm happy to discuss that. So I grew up through film, and because I was shooting landscape, that was growing again at the time, and I was doing some work in the Caribbean, and then I ended up building back into the U.S. And then, long story short, ended up going to Antarctica, and I'm still shooting film. Now, I had seen digital at the time. I'd seen it, but the first generation of digital, the bodies were in a ballpark, but I think they're roughly $5,000, and they pretty much sucked. And I thought, but it was cool, but it wasn't like $5,000 cool, so I stayed with film. But this is the big thing, the mistake I made. I never checked it again. It didn't gel with me like it does now, that technology is going to advance and advance quickly.
Right, right.
And of course it does. So the reason I mentioned Antarctica is that to get down there, it was going through a bunch of, here's where I'm going. I think I counted them at 19 x-rays that my whole film collection went through.
Wow.
Because of all the airports.
Yes.
So it's like, I knew when I got home, it was bleached. There's no way. But you know what? It turned out that, oh, and by the way, not that it matters anymore. I
your
even bought into
in Antarctica. I had one of those, okay?
I had one of those lead bags because I thought that's, you know, I totally bought into that. Oh, that's a solution. But they take the stuff out of the bag. Anyhow, I knew it had just, but it turned out it survived. However, the reason I'm telling you this is I'm the only. Me and one other guy were shooting film. Everyone else had gone digital.
Okay.
And every night in the you know, the camp or the ship or whatever, they'd set up their laptops and they'd show what they shot that day. And I couldn't do it.
Film,
plus,
yeah.
What if I ran out of film? And you film guys will relate to this, I think, where it's like, well, that's a really cool thing, but tomorrow might even be better. But if I burn this film now, then I can't, like, you're not going to go to the store or something. Yeah. So you kept hoarding it. And then, yeah. Anyway, I knew when I got back. This is the last time I'm shooting film. The last. Never, ever again. And so I leapt into digital, and I've never looked back. Do you have a thought on that, by the way? Do you prefer film to this day versus digital, or do you care?
I tell you what, my first camera was the Kodak Instamatic camera.
Okay.
Now, that's how long ago this was, okay?
Right.
And I guess I graduated from the Kodak Instamatic camera to the Rebel Canon camera. What got me, I think, interested in it more after I look back on it, back when I was in the 4-H club, we did a 4-H change trip with the 4-H club in Indiana. And on the way back home, we stopped by Claiborne Farms in Kentucky. Back then, I don't know if they still are, but back then, Claiborne Farms was a big thoroughbred horse racing breeding farm. And they brought out two of their horses, showing them to us, talking about them and everything. I did not realize until sometime later, one of the horses they brought out that I took a picture of was the Secretariat.
Okay, that's significant.
I've got a picture of Secretariat. If I had known then what I know now, I would have done a better job. But it is still a pretty doggone good picture. That is one thing that got me interested in it. And I've always been a little bit of a camera buff. But whenever I actually started being a member of the JCs, of the Shelbyville JCs, in fact, every year they do a beauty pageant in, I don't know what the right word to use is, it's involved with the walking horse industry,
mm-hmm.
The celebration. Every year that I was in the club, I was always one that would be there taking pictures. So that's what really got me really started in photography and the model photography per se. I started like you. I bought Canon cameras. Canon Rebel was my first camera. I went up to the Canon 6D. Actually, it was a Canon 3D, a Canon 6D, a Canon 5D. I've got a Canon Rebel 2 TI, a 2 TI. I'm like Canon, like you would be a Nikon, like somebody else would be a Sony. It's just, it's all Ford, Chevrolet, Dodge. It's what you want. It's one camera to me is just as good as another. It's just what you want.
Yeah, I've gotten, you know, to get into those wars for a second, I have spent very little time with Sony. I've minimal time with Canon. I'm very comfortable now with the menu that's right on Nikon and to navigate it.
So right.
I like that. I like the color saturation I get. I like the megapixels. So I'm very okay being a Nikon shooter.
Go back about 20 years. Yes, I was in the end of the film days.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was in college, our teacher had us actually shooting chromes because he said that when you shoot film, you've got a much larger range that you can correct on film. But on chromes, that correction range, it shrinks down quite a bit. So you've got to get it more right when you're shooting chromes than shooting film. And it was maybe 2 years later that in popped all of the digital age. So everybody had to have a digital camera then. Everybody bought your memory cards, your editing software, all this, all of that. I'm like, okay, this is getting a little too technically advanced for me, but doggone it, I like doing this. I'm going to do it. I'm like you said, there's nobody going to stop me from it. I did it.
So how long did it take you to get to leap into digital?
Oh, man, good question. It took me probably 3 years. A guy that I was friends with, he had jumped real early, and he said, Eric, why don't you just go ahead and buy you the digital camera? They're cheap on eBay, you know. Well, I mean, shit, that's what a photography is going to. You're going to have to keep up with it, or you're going to be left behind. I'm like, well, okay. So I went ahead on eBay. I bought I think it was the Canon D30, the one I could afford. And that's basically how I got started in the digital age. Now, I do not do my own Photoshop. I try to get everything right in the camera first, because I paid to have my editing done. And the least I can pay my editor, the better off I like it.
So basically, you're sending, to some extent, you send your work to...
No, I've got a friend that does my editing for me.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you're sending your raw file.
Yeah, yes,
somebody.
Yes, yes. And basically, all he ever corrects is just the... lighting, just a little bit hair. He may take off a fly away hair here or there, but I am so peculiar what I have in the background. I don't want a tree limb sticking out of somebody's head. Mm-hmm. I don't want something in the background that looks odd, that will look distracting. I want your eyes to be focused on the main subject, okay? I don't want something in the background to immediately just grab your attention and say, that shouldn't be there. Why is that there? Why didn't he edit that out? So, yes, I am a peculiar about how I shoot, what I shoot, where I shoot. I'm always looking for angles. Where is the best angle to photograph this person? Where's the light coming from? Where is the scenery? What's the best background view? Yes, that is important, but I also want the main eye to be on the subject. That's always the main focus right there.
So are you going with, to further that then, with a really wide f-stop to throw your background out? Or
sometimes I use a 2.8 lens to blur it. Other times I don't. It's all in the mood right then. Mm-hmm. What I actually feel like doing. Okay.
Well, I liked what you were describing earlier, and I thought you were going to veer off into it, which is what I call casting.
Yes.
Which is a given model in a given arena.
Right.
In a given setting.
Right. Right.
For example, if I get approached to do a project, which I should mention, because your purpose, which I think is brilliant, is to further the Nashville market, to foster it. I settled here, and there's a wonderful pool of talent here. There's some
yes.
great models. There are fantastic shooters, and there's going to be continuing people that are going to, from different walks of life, they're going to get into it. So you're going to see this up and coming. Who's going to be new? It's exciting. It's great to be a part
of
it.
Yes.
But when I'm approached for a project, here's what I wanted to say. if you have started to subscribe to the Facebook pages, as an example, or right. Instagrams, and you're seeing the term, and by the way, if you're not subscribing, you should be subscribing to these pages. It's a free source, and you're going to meet other people that will agree or disagree with you. And you're going to find this varying pools that you can get into and you can discuss and throw questions out. And I do encourage you to do it. But you're going to see a phrase that is called TFP, which I've actually heard defined different ways. I call it trade for print.
Right.
But I've heard it defined at least one other way that's escaping me at the moment, which also kind of made sense. What that means is everyone involved in the shoot is doing it gratis. And in exchange for that, everyone shares the result.
Right, right.
At least that's how I define it. The reason I bring that up is when I'm approached by a model, they say, can we do a TFP? If the model interests me, or if the concept and or concept right. interests me, then what I'm looking for is let's cast this. So, for example, if the model says, well, I would like to do like an evening gown, then clearly I was going to say that like a barn wouldn't work.
Right.
Now, once I said that aloud, maybe it would work. Because sometimes what I like to do, again, model and personality and attitude dependent, is do a hard contrast
mm-hmm.
to where you wouldn't expect the tuxedo or the evening gown, but you know, you'd be in like a horse or sort
right.
of a thing.
Right, right.
And then vice versa, where you take the cowgirl and put her down in an urban environment. That can be a lot of fun. Or you do stay more to the what people think of as the actual truth. So it'd be, if you're elegant, let's find you an elegant background. Recently, I did a shoot where the model wanted to do a really flowing gown. And I just happen to know where there's these great stone steps. And so we ended up doing this concept where she was up with the stones, and it was still autumn at the time. So we had the great leaves, and it was just one of those, again, casting. I'm a big believer in casting it correctly whenever possible.
Right, right. Yes, yes.
Now, part of what drives me for that is I want to get into this because by the way, we should set this up. We have barely talked about this, so it's not like we've got like this where we said, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. So I have no idea if you're a strobe shooter or a natural light shooter or both. I'm natural only. I don't do strobes of any kind.
I've done both.
Okay. I've done both. I don't like strobe, which I'm happy to get into. And then all the strobe guys will go, which again, back to the pages. But because of that, it's very important for me to cast because this is admittedly, it's a double-edged sword to me because shooting natural light, I gravitate to natural light because I consider that to be by far the most beautiful light in existence.
Yes, right.
And strobes to me, by definition, are a harsh electric spark, which is why there's always, of course, the filters and the umbrellas because you have to diminish that. You have to disperse it and so on. Now, with that said, natural light being, I think, the most beautiful is also going to be potentially elusive, or it can also be over the top. It can be really loud on a particular day. So when I've got a project in mind, one of the things, once we've narrowed the project down, is trying to say, like, what time of day can this work? And by the way, I know I'm shotgunning this horribly, but natural light does not preclude shooting indoors. I've hit that a couple of times, and it doesn't. I've done some fantastic portrait work that's been inside as long as you've got ambient light.
Right.
Again, as you mentioned earlier, which you're absolutely right, where is the light coming from?
Where's the light coming from?
And then once you've got that down, you can figure it. I came up with a sports analogy, actually. It was a couple of years ago, I was working with a great model, and we were talking about this. And it occurred to me that even though my background is by no means sports, that I kind of think this way, which is in sports, back when I played horribly in high school, I learned you don't play the ball, you play where the ball is going to be.
Okay.
I shoot like that, only the ball is light. I shoot where the light's going to be. Where do I see that in post?
Okay.
If that makes sense. So when I'm shooting, what I'm looking at in the natural light is, where in post is this going to be? Because I do my own post. Now, you don't, so you're, which is great, because we can have this discussion because you're in such a different boat than I am about that.
Mm-hmm.
I shoot some things, even though to be clear, I always shoot raw I'm the Church of RAW. Always shoot RAW. Get the most info. For those of you who don't know, a RAW file captures the most data of all the available formats, and I don't care what camera you're shooting. That's just a fact. And a lot of smartphones will do it now. They are the biggest file, and not all of your editing software will read them. The pro stuff does, and most of the prosumer stuff does. But if you want the biggest capture, go RAW. Anyway, I always shoot color. And even if I'm going to grayscale, which is a fancy word for black and white, I keep it a color print or a color file. There's just something about it. I think that prints a little more interesting if you're going to a fine art paper, or aluminum is mostly what I use now, than just going to a grayscale. But when I'm in the moment, when I'm doing the shoot, sometimes I'm thinking that is definitely going to be grayscale.
Yes.
And then, so you see where we're going with
that. Uh-huh. I mean, sure do, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Others are going to be a saturated color, and this is going to be, almost like a kind of that candy where everything's just over-the-top rich color, and then
right.
You can do the desatch and stuff like that. So a lot of that's going through my mind. Do you do that when you shoot? Do you
sure.
see the finished thing already? Or
yeah. All the time. I envision in my mind how I want this image to be. And I think, what have I got to do in order to accomplish that? Do I need light coming from here? Do I need to diffuse it here? Do I need to use a reflector here? Do I need to position her here, turn her head this way, turn her head that way? I am so mentally and physically drained after a shoot. I'm like, thank God it's over. Thank God it's
actually
over.
To me, that's shoot dependent. Sometimes I'm high from it. It was so creative and interesting. And I tend to shoot what's called, at least what I term, organic, which means I really don't have a plan, but it sounds a lot more interesting if you say organic. So start bouncing ideas, and then all of a sudden you end up getting into the zone and you create this really wonderful potential. So sometimes I can leave a shoot elated. And yeah, there are some shoots where you just go, okay, that's
I think I put so much into the planning, the double checking that everything is going to be on key, everything is going to go like it should be. I've got a model, I've got a location, I've got the permission to shoot here, I've got the a concept with the model agreed upon, I've got, God forbid, batteries in the camera,
mm-hmm.
Thank God for that, I've got batteries in the flash if I'm using flash on camera, I've got light stands, I've got strobes, I've got reflectors, I've got a portable changing room if we're on location with different outfits. And after it's over with, I'm like, okay, thank God it's over with.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. I tell people, you're not paying me for the images, you're paying me to set the shot up, okay? I'm a pack mule carrying this stuff to this location. Okay? Well,
you actually bring up a great point there. Not so much about the pack mule, but for this is again true with my other industry, which is the music business, where people are always asking you to either do a huge discount or do free stuff. And again, as I stated earlier, I love TFP models out there. You should always reach out. I'm easy to find. Ask me about TFP because I'm looking to really, as much as I am able, help the Nashville market grow. And we can do really interesting shoots. But with that said, how do you arrive at what you charge? And more to the point, what is the customer paying for? And I think that the customer is really many times, perhaps out of ignorance, is under the impression that you have a fancy camera, so that makes you a photographer.
Not really.
No, I counter that. You can buy a really expensive paintbrush. It's not going to turn you into Monet.
Right.
What you are buying is not the hour or 2 hours or whatever it may be you're spending with your photographer. What you are buying is decades of experience.
Yes.
And thousands of dollars of failed projects in film.
Right.
And software mistakes, and then software successes that led to other successes, and camera accidents that ended up being magic, and all of a sudden you figured out this is going to be my style. And this is decades of experience that makes that photographer the artist that you want to work with,
right.
Which is why I love other great shooters. Which, again, I know I'm horribly off topic here, but so TFP, I'll try to make this succinct now, and then it's your turn. And that is, okay, especially if you are just up and coming, sometimes I want to do a TFP because I know you need the portfolio. I just want to reach out and let's do something that could be dramatic or something that's commercial. And so now you've actually got something that's done on a professional level that you can have in a portfolio.
Right. I think
that's kind of cool.
Right.
Other times I'm just looking for something that's interesting. Like, give me an idea I haven't done before, mm-hmm. or I haven't done in a while.
Right.
Or another one that I like is, what is the dream shoot? If you could just, you know, the money and time, whatever, no object. What shoot would you like to do? And most models I find have one. And if you can say, well, I've always wanted to do this. I like to try to figure out if there's a way we can actually do it. And sometimes you can't, but a lot of times you can say, you know what? I know somebody that could do that. One time this actually happened. I shot with a girl on top of a skyscraper in Minneapolis. Because she'd always wanted to do that. And it turns out with a few phone calls, we figured out you can actually get up there. And sometimes it's really as simple as that. Once you realize that you've got a model that can really work with you and do this, or you've discovered a photographer that can really work with you and do this, now it's a little bit more than just something I've always wanted to do. It's something you really could do.
Right.
Isn't that brilliant? Isn't that something that again, fostering the art and the community here is I'm really excited. Even in the time I've been here since I, frankly, COVID has really stopped a lot of travel for obvious reasons, right? Yeah. So I used to be out, you know, doing a lot of travel. I was doing different markets, not to mention the landscape thing. But because of the restrictions in the last, call them 2 years, a little less really, I've concentrated here. Because at first, you know, I went through this thing, oh man, you can't travel, you can't go. I have all these favorite spots that I used to visit. And then say, wait a minute. There's no reason that you can't shoot here because, frankly, Central Tennessee, be it Nashville, I've shot out as far as Knoxville. I've gone, I've actually never shot in Memphis, but I've done it in that area. Yeah. We have waterfalls. There are caves. There are old houses. There are abandoned structures. There is industrial. There's all these great farmland things. And there's no reason you can't find really interesting scapes and people and start creating art together.
Exactly, exactly. Many young models get into the business and they don't know what they're getting into.
That's a fact.
That is, yes, yeah. It's a fact.
That's an important fact, actually. It should be stressed more.
There is a lot more to it than just getting up in front of a camera and have your picture taken.
I think this is where you're going here, which let's differentiate because there's what I think of as a model, which is somebody who aspires to do, even if you don't turn pro, you want to kind of stake your claim in the art and the craft versus what I call like the Insta girls.
Yes, yes.
Which, as we were talking prior to the show, people ask me, you know, like, what camera should I get? For most people, just use your phone. Seriously. because phones will do what for almost everybody what you need. And it's only when you get, like, serious shooters like you and I or, the shooters that we still need to get into our collection of glass and we have the mm-hmm. camera bodies and stuff.
Right.
But what you if I understand where I think you're going here, you're talking about the girl that really she just wants the clicks.
I think so, yes. I think she wants to be a model, but she does not know how to go about doing it.
Well, I think that there's two options here. Not options, but there's at least a kind of a two-prong attack. And one of them is you've got the girl that doesn't know how to do it yet.
Right.
Now, that's the word ignorant used correctly, which is one of my pet peeves when people use ignorant as a I'm trying to say like an expletive.
Yes.
It's not. It simply refers to you don't have knowledge. Like I'm ignorant of knitting.
Right.
I know almost nothing about it. Doesn't make me a bad person. I don't. I think that one of the most important things, be whether you're a shooter or a model, is say, obviously to yourself, like, I'm ignorant of this, but I'm willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different when I'm, and maybe you're going a different direction entirely, and I'm just misspeaking here, but it sounds like when you got the girls that just want the, you know, to take selfies and put them out there and get your clicks, and that's great. I think shooting with a real shooter, you're kind of going over the top, to do that. Yeah. Yeah, use your phone. Or am I wrong? Were you going a the whole different thing here?
If you're going in the right direction.
Well, I think, first of all, I think you're right. Also, I think that what would help, I think that we need to do a call out as we continue to build this podcast and, you know, to foster the community. I think more experienced models should be taking the newer models basically under their wing. I'm not saying everybody, but if you've got a chemistry, if you've got something and you see someone that's got real potential, you could make them go a lot farther, a lot faster, if you would literally foster them, similar to how a great shooter can help somebody that's new in the game. One of the things that when it comes to fostering, and I know you have as well, I'm sure I'd run into this over the years, is like models that won't help other models, photographers won't help other. You could.
Right.
And I'm not talking about like carrying gear here. I'm talking about like
knowledge.
Really? Yes. You know, have you tried that or so and so? Because I did. Okay. I look to encourage everybody. And I'll tell you why. If you're sharing ideas with artists, they aren't going to, even if they try, they're not going to knock you off. And I can defend my position on this, because the artist in them, even if they said, okay, I'm going to try to look just like what Tim does. Okay. It's not a problem. It's actually a really good thing. I could give you my workflow, which, by the way, I don't have, because I literally work organically. I sit in front of the computer and I go, let's try that. And then it just morphs, which I actually is one of the great compliments I got a couple of months ago. I was actually hired by a model. She goes, I picked you because no two pictures are alike.
Wow.
And I thought, that's a really – I don't think she intended it to be such a compliment, but thank you. That was really great. And the reason that mine are – well, there is, of course, that common vein, because it's the common artist, is because I work that way. I don't have a template. Okay, this one, I'm going to try that. Anyhow, the point is if you give someone, have you tried that, or you know, so on, and, or if they have a question about something you do, just tell them, is even if they try to do your work, The artist in them is going to, I'm going to do that except for this. And the moment they do, it veers off. It's not the same template anymore. Their work will always be different, which is why your work does not look like my work.
Right,
and
right.
My work does not look like any other shooter in the areas,
right.
And nor should it.
Right.
And they don't look like me. And that's why you have models that work better with some shooters. Some models work better with me versus you versus right. Whomever. They're looking for a look.
Right.
Similar, like if you look at music artists, I mean, a lot of artists sound very, very different. Now we can, I know this is not about music. We can certainly get into the woes of technology interfering with the music industry.
Yes.
That's another podcast entirely, because I have a studio here at Nashville, so I bring that up. But it's the variety. And now I'm going to come back to something you were starting to get into earlier. I think you were anyway. It's what I term chemistry,
yes.
Which is that, it sounds overly romantic. I don't mean to say that. The relationship, it's the synergy. That's what I want.
Yes.
The synergy,
yes, yes.
Of model with the shooter.
Yes.
There are some models I've worked with that does not exist at all. It just doesn't. Now, that does not make them a bad model or myself a bad shooter. It just means we were not destined to do this, is how I look at it. But all it can mean is that that model is going to work with some other shooters, and they're going to get the look that they want, and so on. And that's great. And that's why I tend to foster, like, we need great shooters in this area. We need great models in this area, because we can all share ideas. And sometimes you're going to go, I want that certain look, and I know who does it. And that's a good thing. At least I view it as a good thing. I don't. You may have a different take.
A point very well taken, because that brought up a memory that I had back in the film days. I had this one model that I had in my home studio that chemistry just worked. The model knew what I was wanting to shoot. This was the film day. Mm-hmm. I shot a 36 shot roll of film in one single Def Leppard song.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the chemistry was there. The model knew what I wanted. The model knew how to get it. Boom, boom, boom. One roll of film, I was done. It is that simple, that
it
easy.
It can be.
And when you have got the chemistry, the personality that just clicks with the model, it is magical.
Yes, it is. And that's not misusing the term. I mean, there's a magic to it.
A photographer wants that chemistry with a model if he is actually thinking about working with her.
But along those lines, and you're obviously very correct, but along those lines, I want to say, please do not fall into that trap where you think you have to look like the cover of Cosmo or something.
The girl next door sometimes.
Well, there's the girl next door. How about goth? I've noticed that there's a huge, at least in Nashville, for whatever reason, I mean, there's this, a lot of these girls are shooting graveyard stuff.
Yes.
It's really dark, and it's interesting. It's fascinating work. And you can have very small models. You can have larger models. This is not like putting you in that cookie cutter of what you think that the glamour mag wants you to do. Some of the most interesting models I work with do not have that look at all. But what they do have is they have that attitude, which, not to be confused, by the way, with a bad attitude. That's
right.
That's a whole nother animal. I'm talking about the attitude where they are looking to create the art. And then if you get that synergy flowing, it's incredible. So I before we run out of time here, I got two questions I want to bring up. One of them is, what, as someone with experience, what is the advice that you think that like fledgling models should be getting?
My main advice would be, if you are a model, get with a photographer that has actually photographed models before, that has got connections with agencies. Shoot with a photographer that you like his work, and that a photographer that is not afraid to go outside the box, okay? Because so many of us are what I consider cookie cutter photographers.
And to me, it's part of the magic of photography is the when you've captured an image, you've actually captured a literal capsule of time,
right?
And it's to me, it's that one where the between the magic light and the model and the photographer and the glass and everything is when the one, mm-hmm. everything intersects. Right. And that's the image.
Okay. And you said you had another question real quick. What was it?
No, that actually, you answered it, believe it or not. I was going to ask you, do you shoot many images or a relative few images in a session? And you actually...
Back when I was learning, yeah, I shot rolls and rolls of film. Now, in digital age, I may shoot many outfits, 200-300 images, but that's only because of the chemistry that I and the model had, looks, all the scenery, everything worked. Tim, I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, man.
Would you come back and do this again?
Anytime. I would love to do this. I would love to do that roundtable one, too. That's brilliant.
We may do that. And, Tim, for our listeners, tell them how they can contact you.
It's real easy. Just hit me up. I'm Tim Temple on Facebook. You can also hit me Tim Temple TV on Instagram. And then if you want to get into my pro image on Instagram, it's Temple Imagery on Instagram, which is also true of Facebook. So there's a couple of pages there. Or I'll just give you my email. It's info at templeimagery.com. And I will get back to you. I'm not one of these people that ghosts you. You will get a response. And if you got a TFP idea, I would love to talk to you. So please do not. I urge you to reach out. I want to talk to you because you may have, and it could be someone who's just starting out, or you may actually have a creative project. I would love to work with you. So please hit me up.
Okay, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Model Connection. I hope to have you tune in again for the next episode. Good night.